Blog Talk Radio.
Love.
Lord is with us.
Got it. Can you hear me now? Okay. Thanks, Alex. You can hear me now real good? Okay, let me go tell that woman that you can hear me. Get this down. Can you hear me now?
Yes, they can hear on the phone.
They can. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. You are great and worthy to be praised. Okay. Well, praise the Lord. My son came in and reconnected us somehow to Skype. You got to remember, this is a holiday weekend, and there may be an awful lot of people trying to connect in to Skype at this time. So we just give you glory and praise, God. We take authority and we ask that you send your warring angels and that you will keep us connected in. For you are great and mighty to be praised. And we ask that you bring people to the program, even people that might have gotten off thinking that it was hopeless, because here we are.
Thank you.
In your presence. Amen. So what we're endeavoring to do is we need more connection with our audience. Now, let me tell you why we need interaction. Because in many of your churches today, with the Kundalini spirit in the churches, which is a false imitating unholy spirit, what happens is people go to church and they sit down and the pastor starts talking, and then that spirit puts them in trances and they cannot hear what the preacher is even talking about. And I've seen this happen when I used to go out and speak to various churches and in groups. I would see people just fall into a trance while you're speaking. And of course, what it is that deceiving spirit that comes to keep you from hearing the word of God. And so we have to stay alert so that you know that you're hearing the word and that you're not just passively listening to someone talk to you. This is very, very important because of the fact that, as I was telling you before we lost that sound, the Word of God is not passive. We do not preach the Word for you just to sit and listen. We preach the Word to teach you how to react to Jesus and how to react to the Word and how to get involved with Jesus and His Word. And you're not going to do it just being a passive Christian. Christianity is interactive with the Lord, and it's interactive with His people. So this is why it's very important for you to understand that deliverance is real, healing's real. But if you're sitting there and you've got certain needs and you just don't call because you're afraid or you're nervous or whatever other reasons that the devil is telling you, then you're losing a lot because of the fact that sometimes you just have to humble yourself before the throne of God and say, you know, Lord, I need help. I need help. And you know what the Bible says? It says, if you ask, you shall find. And sometimes just keeping your mouth shut is hindering you from getting what the preacher has to say, the prayers that could be offered up for you. So pick up the phone and call. And whenever you call, you dial 1, and that shows us up on the board that you want to talk to the host. And when you want to talk to the host, we'll click right into you. And then Marshall and Sabrina and I will be able to pray for your needs or give you a word of advice or whatever it is. Now, this Kundalini spirit has invaded the Christian churches all over the world. And it's a false imitating spirit. And this spirit makes many people think that it's the Holy Spirit because it's supernatural. And see, everything that's supernatural doesn't mean that it's coming from the throne of God. You see, Saul visited the witch of Endor, and whenever he visited her, he was seeking for supernatural information because he was going to battle the next day. And he wanted to know if he went into that battle, was he going to get out of that battle? So God was no longer speaking to Saul because he was backslidden. And, of course, we know that Samuel had died. So Saul, when he came into the kingship of his nation, he made it against the law for witches and wizards and psychics and fortune tellers and supernatural people of the devil to operate out in the open. So they went underground. And when they went underground, that meant that he didn't get rid of all of them. Some of them survived. But whenever there's an underground church or if there's an underground group of the devil's people, the spiritual realm can guide people to where the underground church or mission is. And so Saul asked somebody if they knew where he could find the information, and they led him to the witch of Endor. And whenever he came to the witch of Endor, she conjured up a spirit that claimed to be Saul. Now, that spirit was not Saul. Samuel. Now, Saul could not see that spirit, so he was dependent on the witch to tell him what it looked like. And when she described the spirit, he said, "Oh, yeah, that's Samuel." And he immediately accepted that as the spirit of Samuel. And he began to converse with that spirit and get information from that spirit, like Samuel, the real Samuel, used to give him when he was alive. Well, you see, that wasn't the spirit of Samuel that talked to Saul, because the Bible says that we are not supposed to talk to the dead, and God wouldn't break the scriptures for Samuel to speak to Saul anyway. So that was an impersonating spirit. And, of course, that impersonating spirit gave Saul advice through the human spirit called the witch of Endor. Now, the devil uses his people, and he uses them as a vehicle to talk to the people on the earth, because they can't talk to those spirits. They don't know how to get into the spirit realm. But if you go to an impersonating spirit, like if you go to a fortune teller, or if you go to a psychic or some other source of information aside from receiving your information from God, the Holy Spirit, and a person that belongs to him, then you're going to turn onto a dark highway. And that dark highway will lead to your death, because that's the wages of sin, according to the Word of God. The wages of sin is death. And so after Saul received the information from the witch, then what she did is she slaughtered a lamb and she fed him. And what she was actually doing is she had done a blood sacrifice and she gave it to Saul to seal his fate. That blood sacrifice blocked his mind, blocked his sensitivity spiritually, so that he just took his sons and went to his death out on the battlefields. And so the devil uses human agents, just like he used the Witch of Endor for Saul. And we're living in the time where our church does not, and I'm talking generally, the Christian churches, do not understand spiritual things. And there's been a great infiltration within the church for people to be ensnared by a spirit called Kundalini. And that Kundalini spirit is a serpentine spirit. And it is an imitating spirit. It imitates the Holy Spirit. And because it is supernatural, because it gives dreams, visions, prophecies, and pretends deliverances, and all kinds of things, the people who are not supernatural, and because their pastors have received this false religious spirit, are up underneath the powers of this invading spirit in their churches. Now, a lot of people have become aware of the Kundalini spirit, the rejection of the truth of the word, the rejection of Jesus Christ as their Savior, as the guide, the rejection of the old pathways is what it's called. And all of a sudden, they've seen flooding into their churches new things that they've never seen before. Instead of the hymnals that used to be packed full of all of the wonderful hymns that some of our church leaders had written and had pressed the Word of God into those songs, because if the person didn't get in the Bible for themselves, they could go to church and sing and get the Word of God into their hearts. They can't do that anymore, because the pastors, in many cases, have invited former rock stars, former people that are not spiritual, to come into their churches. They sing about, "I love you, Jesus. I miss you, Lord." And they sing to Jesus like he's some kind of a girlfriend or a boyfriend. And none of the word goes into those songs. And so the devil has stolen the Word of God through the perverse Bibles, and he has stolen the Word of God through lack of spiritual worship, true spiritual worship. So what I'm telling you here is that in order to be spiritual, a Christian has to have spiritual food. They have to have spiritual food from the Word of God, and that's what brings life to them. So many of your Christians are starving to death, sitting in churches every Sunday, two or three times a week, under a pastor that has invited new pathways. Some of them have openly invited pathways into the churches that they have thrown Jesus up on an altar with all the other gods of the world, and you no longer believe, and they no longer believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light, and no one comes to the Father except by him. And so when that happens, you go immediately into darkness. Now, why am I telling you all of these things? Because we're teaching some new series right now on deliverance. And Brother Marshall and Dr. Sabrina and I all know the importance of deliverance. And I might add, the reason that we know this is because all of us have gone through deliverance ourselves. And we've seen members of our families go through deliverance. We've seen some of the friends go through deliverance. And I've seen deliverance in Dr. Sabrina all over the world. So we know that people need deliverance. Now, a lot of Christians have left some of these false religious churches. A lot of them have told me that they no longer can find a church in their hometown. To a lot of them, Miracle Internet Church is their church, and that's miracleinternetchurch.com, where we have teaching things, television programs, newsletters, and we interact over prayer lines with them. And so they cannot find churches that have not fallen away. And so we formed this particular program for that purpose, so that people would have a place to go and find ministry and teaching. And also, we formed Internet Church, where they could have a place to go and get fed, to get their spirits fed with the Word of God, so that they could stay strong. That's the purpose of this program. And it's not a program for people to just come and passively listen. It's not a program for you to come and connect in with people to be friendly with them, unless you're friendly with them to be spiritual. You see, we've lost people up on Blog Talk Radio that were right in the midst of deliverances because they got friendly with people up on the chat room who quickly led them away from Miracle Internet Cafe into other places on the internet. And just as I mentioned to you last week, we don't know the churches in America that are right. We don't know who's doing the right way in your town. And there's no way that we can know that because we're just human beings. And the only people that know that, or the only beings, would be the Holy Spirit and the Father and Jesus. And so this is why we're telling you to pray about it. Pray if you left your church, pray. Don't just pick up and go to another church because it's a different church. Because this spirit of Kundalini has taken charge over big portions of the Christian church in America. If you are a Pentecostal, or if you are a charismatic, you have in many instances, and I'm talking about big, huge Pentecostal churches and also big, huge charismatic churches, have fallen under spirits of Kundalini through false preachers and teachers and prophets and false prophetesses. And the reason it happened, they started following after people instead of following after the Word of God and Jesus. And instead of seeking God very diligently through prayer and fasting and humbly laying themselves before His altar, they just started inviting people that are popular on television and people that can draw crowds to their churches. And the end result of that, the old pathway walked out of the door and new pathways walked in. And suddenly they found themselves and their whole congregations under bewitching spirits. Now, friends, if you have found yourself in these situations, you just don't walk away and go in your house and then find Blog Talk Radio and think you're okay, because you're not. If you haven't gone through deliverance for being under a bewitching devil, then you need deliverance. And these telephone lines should be packed up with waiting lines every week to get up here for prayer. And that's what we're finding. You're not coming up. You're not asking for deliverance. You're just not. And you see, I love to teach the word. And I know that Brother Marshall loves to teach the word too. But you see, here's the thing. We can teach you the word from now until Jesus comes. But if you're not responding to the word of God, if you're not doing the word of God when you hear it, then it's not worth anything to you. The Bible says faith without works is dead. And faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So we're doing our part to disperse the word of God on Blog Talk Radio just for you. But we're asking you to participate. That's where we're going tonight. That's where we went last night. I personally know people, personally, that I've personally talked to that come up on Blog Talk Radio that I know need deliverance. And yet they're not coming up and they're not asking for help. Some of them have come up and think that they know everything because they listen to voices in their heads, and they begin to become critics, as we talked a little bit about last week. They become critics as to, well, they didn't like what Dr. Holliday said, or they don't like what Marshall had to say, or Dr. Sabrina. They don't like the tone of Dr. Sabrina's voice, or they heard something that Marshall said that they don't agree with, and these kind of things. This is the way the devil operates, my friends. He operates up in your mind, and you have to have a clear mind in order to understand, and you have to reach out and struggle and fight for the truth, because the devil, the adversary, will put all kinds of blocks in your pathway to keep you from knowing what God is saying in this last hour. Now think of it this way. You can't listen to the program and then listen to ideas and thoughts in your mind and really even have any kind of an understanding of what the program's about. You can't do that. But if you guard your mind and you ask the Lord to bind any devils from speaking into your mind, and you plead the blood of Jesus over your mind, and you command every devil that wants to occupy your mind to shut up and to get into the cage, and you plead the blood of Jesus over your mind, what's going to happen is you're going to get more and more and more of the message. Now, I talked about that last week to you, so listen to last week's broadcast so that you can understand where we're coming from, so that we can help you. You see, you just don't go to the doctor's office and sit in the doctor's office and then sit there all day long and never go in and have a conversation with the doctor, never tell the doctor your symptoms, and then at the end of the day go home and think everything's going to be all right. It doesn't work that way. You have to communicate with your ministers, and you have to communicate with your doctor if that's the pathway that you've chosen. It's not passive. It's interactive. And that's why Christianity is too. So this Kundalini spirit is a spirit that will blind you. Your eyes and your ears will not be able to listen or hear the truth. Now, the way this spirit operates, it operates through human agents. It's a spirit that uses human agents. Evangelist, just like God uses human evangelists. God takes a human being that loves him, is submitted to him, that will speak the word of God, and the word of God convicts your heart so that you respond to God's word. And whenever somebody responds to God's word, when a person is evangelizing, God convicts that person's heart, and that person has feelings inside of them. And those feelings are, oh, my God, I'm a sinner. Oh, my Lord, I've got to have Jesus or I'm going to hell. And it makes you aware that Jesus is God and that you are helpless without him. And you respond to that word that's given out. And you react to that word because you come running up to the altar and you say, forgive me, Jesus. Well, see, all of these teachings that we're doing on deliverance is not just trying to teach you. We're trying to get you to respond so that you can be set free, so that you can really, truthfully have that foundational teachings in your body and in your spirit and mind, so that you can react to the things of God, so that you can spiritually see, so that you can try the spirits to see if they're of God, so that you can function as a Christian. A passive Christian is not going to get there. I'm telling you right up front. And so the Kundalini spirit acts exactly the way that God goes through his believers. He chooses a person that falls into sin, and then he, the devil, keeps leading that person deeper and deeper down the avenues of sin until he totally captures that person's mind, that person's body, that person's soul, so that that person will become totally dependent on the devil. And when they become dependent on the devil, he teaches them his ways. He teaches them his doctrines. And they, in turn, become evangelists for his causes. He sends them right into the church systems. And when they come into the church systems, they may have a Christian lingo, but they have dark hearts, and they're there as tares to totally strangle the wheat and to kill the wheat before it can come to bloom. That's what the spiritual warfare is about. And this is why it's important for you to grow up. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get you to see that you have needs, that you have needs, deep needs, to grow up, so that you're not dependent on Dr. Holliday and Marshall and Dr. Sabrina. That you become so that you become a co-worker in the field with us, so that you can see the needs of the people when they call and you know what they need. You know, don't try to understand what's going on up there if you've only been on this program about 5 or 6 times. You can't understand really truthfully what's going on in somebody's spirit when they come up and we start casting a demon out. And I've had people that I've talked to on the phone that's trying to tell me what's going on with that person. And I know they don't even know because they haven't gone through any deliverance themselves. So you see, stop being a critic. You're not a critic. Start humbling yourselves before the throne of God. And say, here I am, God. I'm here to learn, but I'm here to experience your grace. I'm here to experience your power. I'm here because I have a need. I need deliverance. Now, you see, if you've been to those churches and you knew enough to get out, that means that you know enough to hear me very carefully right now. You need deliverance. If you've been to Todd Bentley's ministry, if you've been to Chuck Pierce's ministry, if you've been to Patricia King's ministry, if you've been to Peter Wagner's ministry, and I could go on and on and on. If you've been to purpose-driven ministry. Rick Warner. Rick Joyner also. Others that I could name to you. You need deliverance because it's not the Spirit of God that you were going under. And if they've laid hands on you, if they've given you prophecies, it's just no better than if you had gone into a coven and let a wizard pray for you. You're in trouble, friends, because you've been spiritually blinded. And the only way that you're going to get the cobwebs off of your eyes, and the only way that you're going to get your ears open, is to humble yourself before the throne of God and say, God, forgive me. Show me what to do. Show me what to do. I want to be free. Now, you know, friends, we've had people over our ministry years that have had sickness, that we've seen God do the impossible many, many different times. I mean, I've seen God put new hearts into people. I've seen God grow legs out. I saw God one time. I went to this church, and the pastor told me, he said, now, I've been known to stop people and tell them to sit down when they come into my church evangelizing if they say something I don't agree with. He said, I want you to understand that before you get up there and preach. I said, yes, sir, pastor. And so he said, for instance, he said, I don't go into all of this growing out legs and all of this stuff that's going on in the church. I said, yes, sir, pastor. And I got up there, and under the anointing, I started preaching. And the Lord had total control of that service. And he was sitting over there, jumping at the bit. He was wanting to stop me, but I think the spirits in him were afraid to do it because they knew that I could cast them out. So he was sitting there, his face blood red. And I gave an altar call for anyone that needed healing, for them to come forth. Here comes this man with a cane, first one, and he had a built-up shoe that was about maybe 3 inches built up. And he told me, he said, I'm a Christian. He said, I have a brother that's a Christian. He said, I used to be a motorcycle rider. And he said, I went riding out in the motorcycle one day and had a head-on collision. And I was thrown over on the side of the road and I was dead. He said, my brother came by in a car, stopped and thought, I'll go and pray for whoever that is. And it was me, his brother. So he cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, please, please let my brother come back to life. He's not saved. He said, and I came back, and my brother led me to the Lord. He said, well, whenever they operated on me, he said, they had to cut bone out of my leg, and my leg was 4 inches shorter than the other one. And so he said, I just want God to heal me. Well, you see, before the church ever started, that preacher told me, he said, I don't believe in that. Well, I said, sit down there on the front seat, sir. And he sat down, and I just pointed at his foot, never touched him. And I said, leg, grow in Jesus' name. And just like that, his leg sprung out and grew. And he stood up. And he had to sit back down and take the shoe off. And here's this preacher that said he didn't believe in that junk. Well, what could he do? He came to me and he said to the congregation, he said, I've never believed in that. He said, but I know this man. He's been coming to my church for a long time. He said, I know that woman didn't do a trick on him to make that leg grow out. He said, she just said, leg grow out in Jesus' name, and the leg just grew out. He said, I believe that Jesus did that. Well, you see, you're sitting in a spot, many of you that are listening, you're sitting in that spot where you believe that, oh, well, you know, deliverance is for someone else. Yes, I'm glad that woman got up there and got deliverance. I'm glad that man got up there and got deliverance, but I don't need deliverance because I'm a Christian. I don't need deliverance because I know that I'm free. Well, I'm asking you these questions today. Have you ever been through deliverance since you left those Kundalini churches? I'm asking you, have you been through deliverance? If you came out of homosexuality, alcohol, if you came out of smoking drugs and pot and things like that, wherever you came from, if you came out of those bad situations, friends, I'm here to tell you that you might have traveled up to the altar. You might have gotten on your face. You might have wept before the altar and asked Jesus to forgive you. And I'll tell you right up front, he did. But on the other side, I will tell you that once you've invited a spirit in, you got to kick him out. You see, Jesus didn't just say to Mary Magdalene, when they brought her and shoved her down on the ground in front of the Lord's face and said, she's an adulterer, and they took off. Well, see, it takes two to tangle. And in that situation, there were several men that brought her before Jesus and ran away. That means all of them were having fun with her or sin with her. But Jesus had to cast out seven devils. That could have been the seven devils from the seven people that brought her, that slung her in front of his face. You see, devils come in when you sin. And Jesus didn't just say to her, just believe on me and glory to God, everything's all right. And the woman says, I believe on you, Jesus, forgive me. Okay. And then walk away. No, he had to drive those spirits out for her to be free. Friends, you need to examine yourself if you're listening to this today. Do you need deliverance? Have you really sought the Lord in prayer and fasting about your spiritual state? Do you need to repent and come before the Lord and ask him, Lord, I'm humbling myself today. I'm humbling myself before your throne. If I need deliverance, please deliver me. Also, I've seen people that need healing. And you come into the church and you're ministering and the miracles start. And they won't come forth because they're afraid that they won't get healed. And after all, if they don't get healed, it might steal the little bit of faith that they got. Let me tell you something. If you need help, come and ask. You might not get it the first time, but you remember that Jesus talked about the woman, and he told her that if she would importune the judge, that means keep on going and asking, keep on going and asking until she gets what she's asking for. He said the judge will get tired and give it to her. Well, you just keep hitting the throne until you get what you're asking for. Believe me, sometimes importunity is what you need because then you keep seeking, what is it that I'm missing? You keep examining yourself. So you just keep coming back. If you don't get what you're looking for the first time, come back. We don't mind praying for you. But your faith will be healed as you listen and see other people being healed. Amen? And so I want you to start interacting more with the program is what we're getting at. We want to know that you understand that God wants you healed. He wants you free. But you have to interact with Jesus and the Word in order to be free. Now, God is telling me that there are people out there tonight that are listening to this program, and you need to be on that phone. You should have already been dialing in with the number one up there. You should be calling. You should be calling. I've had 3 phone calls just in the last hours asking for deliverance. And I say, friend, you know, I don't have hours that I can sit and deliver you. I said, I want you to come up on Blog Talk Radio, call in, and we'll pray for you. Now, I mentioned the reason that Blog Talk is the place to go is because you see, you've got Marshall up here, you've got Dr. Sabrina up here, you've got Dr. Pat here, plus you've got people that go to our church that understand deliverance. You've got people up on the chat room that understand deliverance. And so what I'm saying to you is, one can chase 1,000, 2 can chase 10,000. And with all of the people that are praying with us and in agreement with us, we, with one person praying with you, we can get you free faster than we can with us just praying individually on the phone for you. And you don't have to go through as much torment to get free because you have thousands of people praying for you as we pray for you. So those are the reasons. In addition to that, my friends, I'm just one person. And I have a heavy workload. I'm not complaining to you. I love to do what God has called me to do. But you see, I'm 77 years old now. And God told me, He said, I want you to get your work together. I want you to write. I want you to get your work out there so that it's available after you're gone. And that's what I'm working on. I have books that I've been putting up on Amazon. Pretty soon they'll be up on other airways for you to be able to purchase them. But you know, I even have people that come up on Blog Talk, see the books advertised, and they don't even go up and get the books. I mean, you know, if you're interested in deliverance and a deliverance minister is writing information and laying it up there for you, why don't you go and buy the books? They're cheap. They're from $2 to $4.99 a piece. That's cheap. And you go up and you get the book and you study it. I put the scriptures by everything that I say in those books so that you know where I get it and why I say it. And we're doing that just for you. Because you're here. We think, well, you know, these people, they are interested in what we're doing. So interact. Go up there. And you're interested in the bridegroom and the bride. You've heard there's not going to be a rapture of the church. Is there going to be a rapture of the church? Well, you know, Pastor Pat, my preacher said no. And you just walk along and believe whatever your preacher said. Don't you want to know whether it's true or not? Don't you want to know whether you can find out very quickly information that took Dr. Holliday years to find out and study, you can get in a couple hours of time? React. Interreact. Go up there. You know, I listen to Alex Jones at times. And he's always telling people, call in. And when they call in, he responds to them. And we respond to you when you call in. And it's important because, you know, Brother Marshall and Dr. Sabrina and myself, we don't know. And once you call in, we respond to you and we give you as much time as you need in order for you to be free. We have people that we delivered up here time and time again. And at the end, I say, be sure to call us back Friday night or call us back Wednesday and let us know what's going on, that they never call back. Well, you see, one time in a deliverance session, you need more than that. What you need is you need prayer, you need teaching, you need to learn how to defend yourself. And so when we tell you these things, it's not for you just to decide, well, I don't want to call back. We ask you to call back so that you can get stronger in the spirit, so that you can stand. We're standing, friends. There's no devil coming in my bedroom at night raping me. There's no devil coming in Dr. Sabrina or messing around with Marshall at nighttime in our homes. But they're coming in your homes, and you claim to be a Christian. You need to find out why. I wrote a book just recently called Kundalini, The Mystery of Kundalini. I've written two books just recently about the water spirits and how they apply individually. And then the other book is how they are world water spirits that have taken over the world, and how I can take you to the Bible through that book and show you how they're functioning through your governments and through the world today. You're not interested. You're not going to spend $2.99 or $3.99 to get those books. You have no idea the work that goes into just writing one of those books. There's been times that I'm up all night long to get the information out to the people so that they can learn quickly. You can't learn quick enough just listening to blog talk 6 hours a week. You see, you need a rapid learning system. And that's what God is supplying for you. But you have to take advantage of it. You have to do and respond so that you can grow very, very quickly. You see where I'm coming from? I don't need your money. God doesn't need your money. God could give me $1 million today. Thank you for it, Jesus. If he wanted to. He doesn't need your money. But your money enables us to print the books, to put them up on the internet, and to respond to you. Our hands are tied in Blog Talk because we don't have a lot of help. We don't have people that can get together our cassette tapes and put them on DVDs so that we can hang them up there on our internet. There's our hands. We have just a few people helping us, but we're working day and night trying to get the word to you, and you need to respond. You need to say, Lord, forgive me for being so callous, for not understanding that you gave us ministry, that you have put your word in the mouths of those people and your deliverance ministry and your healing ministry. And I'm not even telling people that I know that need that ministry. You see, we're in this together. All of us are in this together. It's not just me getting up here and showing you how bright I am, because I'm just a simple lady that loves the Lord. And the same thing would go, Brother Marshall would tell you the same thing, and so would Dr. Sabrina. We're here as a help to the body of Christ, and we need you to reach back. Mm-hmm. We need you to reach back and respond so that God can see that you're getting it. that you're not just sitting there and letting people just, you know, going to sleep while we preach messages. That's not what this is about at all. We know that the word of faith and the word of, in our mouth is very important. And Brother Marshall and I, we talked about that before we ever came up on Blog Talk. But at the same time, if you're not responding, it's not worth it. See, we're all spending 6 hours of our time every week. And then when we get off of the Blog Talk, my phone is ringing day and night. I don't have a phone group like TBN and 700 Club answering the phone and praying for people. I'm it. And sometimes people get through and sometimes people don't get through. I'm sorry about that. Sometimes it's weeks before I can get to my email. And so I'm doing everything that I know and everything I can. But we need your help. We need your prayers. We need your response. But most of all, God needs your interactions. Isn't that true, Dr. Sabrina?
Yes, it is.
You see, Dr. Sabrina has a testimony I'm going to ask her to give. And it's about when she met me, she had already been a Christian all of her life. And she had even gone to a church out in Tampa that was a deliverance church. She came to a church over here, and she was still walking around looking for help. And I want you to tell them how you met me and how you responded and how you started coming and the end result of all of that.
Well, good evening, believers. It's good for you to join us on this holiday weekend. We want to thank and praise the Lord for all those persons that enlisted in the military and thought it not robbery to lay down their lives along with their family members, supported them in defense of our liberties and freedom, and praise for them. I came to the Lord as a preschooler because of my grandmother telling me about Jesus. I went into the front bedroom and I had a conversation with God because I understood at that age that I could do that, that I could talk to God and He would listen to me. Well, everybody has spirits coming down their family line. And I had many, including witchcraft. And there were all sorts of spirits coming down my family line. There was alcoholism, all kinds of things. As I grew up, when I was 12, by the way, I attended one of those churches where they tell you the children can't come until they're 12. So at 12, I got up and I went down the aisle by myself. You know, one of those things they don't do anymore. They have somebody else walk you down. Well, I went by myself. And when I got down there, I realized I didn't know exactly what I ought to say. So the man looked at me and he said, "She came to give her life to the Lord." I said, "Yes." So as time went by, I joined the church. I backslid. When I was in college, as most church children do, they get around the other children and they start trying to do what they see all the other students doing and all the other, because they're in this new culture now. And so after I graduated from college, I moved to Tampa where I was working. And the Lord, I kept not being happy because I couldn't get off work in order to go to church, because I was a church-going person. I believed in going to church. The Bible says it was Jesus' custom to be in the synagogue, and I believe in doing that. And eventually the Lord got me into a church through one of my coworkers that was a multiracial Pentecostal church, Independent Assemblies of God. And so I got some deliverance in that church. That's where I received the baptism. That's the God spoke to me there. That's where He called me into ministry. A lot of things happened. That's when I really went full steam into the intercessory ministry as well. So in a few years, Jesus packed me up and brought me back to Jacksonville. And when I got here, I didn't know exactly where I should go or what I should do. So I went to some kind of women's something meeting or something. And I ran into one of my former classmates, and she said, "Why don't you come to my church? Blah, blah, blah." So that Sunday, I went over to her church, and that's where I was. I was there for about 9 years, and I was very active in that church. I participated. I paid tithes just like you're supposed to do. I gave offerings. I worked in the church, and I participated in several ministries, and I led a singles ministry in that church. Well, I was still seeking the Lord and still growing in grace and still seeking the things of God. And God called me on a fast. And it was a particularly long fast. It was something I had never done before. And I was going to obey God. I didn't even know exactly how to do this, but I was going to get it done, and I did. And so he led me to a bookstore that was out in what used to be Roosevelt Mall in Jacksonville. And I walked in there, and he walked me right up to the books that he wanted me to look at. And they were books on deliverance. Well, I didn't know much about deliverance. I hardly knew anything. But I started reading those books. And so then I began to inquire, where could I go to get some of this done? Because I was praying every prayer those books told me to pray. And the Lord said, "Do you want me to do this? Do you want to go to someplace, or do you want a group working with you?" I said, "Lord, I want a group of people working with me over a period of time so that we can get this accomplished." He said, "All right." So after I tried one place, and that place didn't work out too well, then I was wandering around in my apartment while I was on this fast, and I had the radio on to a Christian radio station, and I heard the name Pat Holiday. And all of a sudden, everything inside me went to jumping up and down like it was on a like my spirit man was on a trampoline. And I'm like, "What is a Pat Holiday? I'd never heard of that." And she was having some kind of meeting at the beach, and I was like, "What on earth? I never heard of anybody named Pat Holiday." So I was friends with one of the young ladies that worked in the office at the church that I was attending. And so I started talking to her. I said, "You ever heard of a Pat Holiday?" "Oh, yes. My daughter was in witchcraft. And if Pat Holiday says it's a witch, it's a witch." I said, "Okay." Then we were, walking around the church, and we happened to wander. She was one of the secretaries at the church, and so I was following her around while we were talking. And we walked in one of the pastor's offices and saw these books on his desk that said Pat Holiday. I said, "There she is right there, this Pat Holiday." So what she did was she took a book and she made a copy of it for me and handed it to me. I said, "Great, I'll find out who this Pat Holiday person is." So as I'm studying the book, I'm saying out loud to the Lord, "Lord, these people don't ever put their names and addresses in their books. This just never here." And I opened the book and looked, and there was her name, her address, and her phone number. So I walked to the telephone with all the boldness I have and dialed a number. And this voice answered and said, "Hello." I said, "Hello, my name is Sabrina Sessions. May I speak with Pat Holiday, please?" And that's how I met Pat Holiday. And that's how I came to her church. And that's how I began to get delivered of all the things that had been in my life for many years. And I couldn't figure out why things just wouldn't work right for me. I began to sit there and to continually learn. I didn't just come one time, and get prayer and say, "Okay, that's the end of that," and get up and leave. Like some people do, they call Blog Talk. And they call once or twice, and they figure, "Well, they got it now." No, I was more intelligent than that. I knew that in order to receive what I needed to receive, I had to stay under that ministry for a length of time, for a good period of time. I couldn't just pop in and pop out. You couldn't do the popcorn thing. That's not how God works. He layers it in. Just like the demons are layered in, he layers in his teachings into you, because you have to have something to hold on to and to ground your faith in order to stand, because the Bible says once they're cast out, they'll come back. And if you just do this hop on, hop off thing, and you don't participate the way you're asked to participate, that means you're not obeying Jesus. Jesus is saying, call in, and you're going, I don't want to, or I don't think I need to, or I don't want people to hear this and that. The Bible says if you're ashamed to confess him before men, he won't confess you before the angels in heaven. That's what the Bible says. So I sat there and I learned. I sat there and I learned. I sat there for many, many, many years and learned. And that's how I got into the deliverance ministry. That was my entrance into the deliverance ministry. But believers, if you don't apply yourself, you don't get so much. If you just come in and participate a thimbleful, that's all you're going to get out of this. You actually have to, as the scriptures say, give yourself to prayer and fasting. You have to give yourself to this ministry. That's how you reap rewards. You don't get rewards just idly participating. Jesus doesn't do the idle thing. That's not his way. That's not his game plan. Many of the persons listening to me now, they need a yoke-destroying anointing in their life. And that's what's here in this ministry. This is a much purer ministry and a much purer anointing than most people even get to sit under. But, beloved, you have to give yourself to this. You also have to support it financially. That's another thing I did. When I went to Pat Holliday's church, I began to support her ministry financially. And nobody had to appeal to me as many times as you've been appealed to. I decided of my own free will, this is what God would have me to do, because I knew it to be right. And the Bible says to know to do right and not to do it, it's sin. So I financially supported her ministry, not in a casual way, but in a consistent way. I was consistent with my support. Whatever I could give, I gave it consistently. I didn't have a casual relationship with Miracle Outreach. I had a committed relationship with Miracle Outreach. And so this is what we're saying to you. We're saying that you have to take your commitment beyond casual. It has to become committed. And when you're committed, you support the ministry with your participation, your active participation. You support the ministry with your prayers. You support the ministry with your finances. This is how Jesus does it. This is his system. This is his way. And we're calling for you to participate, to choose to participate, to choose to give yourself to the ministry. Because some of you, there are things in your life that are not going to come forward until you take this step. So we're inviting you. We are inviting you to take this step and to ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Somebody called up earlier this week and said they're looking for a church. And I said, well, dear, you've come to a church. This is a cyber church. You have come to a church. You have come to a community and a fellowship of believers right here on Blog Talk Radio, Wednesday night and Friday night. This is where you are. This is a church. You don't have to wander the streets of your city looking. You are in a church. This is a worship service. It's a Bible study. It's a prayer and deliverance service. You are in church. The anointing is flowing. God is preaching his word. It is anointed of God. Healing, deliverance, miracles, prayer, Bible study, encouragement, exhortation, everything any believer needs happens here on Wednesday night and Friday night. So we're asking you to participate. It's necessary for you to participate when you're in a brick-and-mortar church. and it's necessary for you to participate when you're on an internet cyberspace church. This is still church, believers. We still have to come to it with a reverential and awe and fear of God, and the same attitude you have when you're in a brick and mortar church worship service. We've come to worship the Lord. We've come to give an offering. There isn't a church service when you're in a brick and mortar church where they don't take up an offering. So, yes, you are expected to participate. Well, I don't have very much. Give what you do have. Give of your little. That's what God wants done. If you're not faithful in a little, you won't be faithful in much. Whatever you do have, give of what you do have. No, it is not too little. Whatever you have, give of what you do have, and give it consistently. Give it consistently. Develop some faithfulness, and God will bless you.
Well, God bless you, Dr. Sabrina. You know, that was a good testimony. And there really is a connection with your giving and with your receiving. And it's not that God needs your finances. It's really not even that we need it, though we do. It's because of the way that God can put his finger on your heart if you are giving in to his work. And the Bible says that workers are worth their hire. And so it's the way that God developed that ministers could separate themselves from the world and that they could give themselves to the work of God without having to go out and be battered in the world and then trying to be spiritual when it came to giving out to his family. But I think I see Brother Marshall up on the air tonight. And Brother Marshall is a faithful friend of mine. I've known him for many, many years now. And I know him as a very holy man, dedicated to the Lord 100%. I haven't ever met many people that will put their hand to the plow as he does and just totally trust the Lord, not only for himself, but for his family. And he's been through some hard knocks over his ministry. Well, Marshall is not a minister. Marshall is a man that loves God and that we used to talk about the Lord on the phone. And we came together and said, you know, a lot of people need to know more about the Word and about Jesus from his Bible. And so he comes up as a person, not as a minister as much, as a person just like you, that he has seen God move in his life, in his family's life. And so that he comes up because he loves Jesus first, but he loves his people. So he comes up and gives hours of his time to the ministry. He doesn't ask for anything in return. And we just appreciate you. Are you there, Marshall?
I'm here by the grace of the living God, yes.
He's there, yes. Well,
praise
I know that you. We have several calls up on the air, but I know that you must have a testimony before we take a call about, you know, you've been a Christian a long time, and you went through phases just like most people do, where you went and you found all of the hoopla where everybody was jumping around and praising the Lord, and this was it, and then that was it. And step by step, God brought you to the point that he told you what to do to get closer to him. And so can you give us a little testimony about stuff like that in your life?
Yeah, I guess so. Let's see. My wife and I knew each other for 5 years before we got married. She accepted Jesus through a television ministry that was preaching the word mostly. She has some questions about the continuation of that ministry to this day, but the Lord used that. You know, he can use anybody. He can speak through a donkey. He can even speak through me. So, and, you know, the donkeys better not get puffed up if they see people throwing palm branches and clothes in the way. I think, boy, aren't I a super-duper great donkey? No, it's because we're carrying Jesus. That's the only thing that makes... Anyway, and I went 5 years after... well, we got 5 years after we met, we got married. And then 3 months after we got married, she accepted Jesus. And, you know, she was like a nominal, like a lot of people. You know, her parents were, you know, her dad had been a Lutheran, her mom had been a Presbyterian, and she was a nominal. And you know, she'd been to church a few times as a younger person. And, you know, she thought she was okay, but she wasn't exactly hungering and thirsting for righteousness. She wasn't reading the book too much. She wasn't, you know, and I was, you know, I had never been baptized, you know, and I don't need to get into all the nitty-gritty, but, you know, well, that the basic thing was my dad's dad had been a Quaker and fairly strict, and my mom was Episcopalian, and my dad figured he was a Christian because he wasn't Jewish, and he was born in the United States, so he figured he was a Christian. Anyway, that's very interesting logic there. I don't know. I wouldn't hold much weight these days. There's a lot of stuff going on in this country that has nothing to do with Jewish or Christian. But... I did accept Jesus through a tract back in December of 1979, and which my wife had accepted Jesus 3 months after we got married, and I was really concerned because she became like a religious fanatic as far as I was concerned. All of a sudden, she wanted to read the book. All of a sudden, she thought Jesus was really alive, and all of a sudden, she thought I needed to go to church. And I was so sure, I was sure, I was sure I was right because, you know, I was just really sure. I mean, I just knew my own mind, didn't I? Back then, I actually thought all my thoughts were my own, which is an amazing thing. Most people think the thoughts they're thinking are their own thoughts. And most people have not read Matthew 16. It says we get thoughts from three places. You know, we can get our own thoughts, what people think. We can get thoughts from God, revelations from the third heaven, from Father God. Or we can get thoughts from that other place, from down under. And I don't mean Australia. And I love the brothers and sisters from Australia, so don't be offended. I mean from the kingdom of darkness is what I'm trying to say. And it's not dark in Australia. They're a fine place, you know. God created the whole globe and all the people on it. And he's no respecter of persons. So help me, Lord. But to answer Pat's question more succinctly, I accepted Jesus through a tract in 79. That was in December. And then by March, something started to change in my life. By March, I actually started really wanting to read the Word. And I started with Pablum. I started with Living Bible. I didn't know it wasn't a real Bible. I didn't know diddly, but at least I started to read something that talked about Jesus. You know, it was corny, Pastor Barney and the whole thing. It was really corny, but I thought I couldn't handle the strong meat, which maybe I couldn't at that point. But I kind of knew that I was heading towards something a little bit more substantive than that. You know, you start with Pablum maybe, but that wasn't where everybody should start. That's happened to be where I started. And then the church I was in, it was helpful. It was during the end of the charismatic wave, the Jesus movement or whatever, the pouring forth of the Holy Spirit. And we went to one of the largest Episcopal churches in Pennsylvania, second largest, I think, and a couple thousand members. And about 200 of them were Spirit-filled, which was pretty amazing. And I saw my first little miracle then, but I didn't understand what was really going on. I didn't know it had anything to do with anybody else. But I saw wonderful things. I saw my wife's leg lengthen. Pat was talking about that a little bit earlier this evening. And somebody prayed for my wife, and her leg was a bit shorter than the other. She always walked with a limp. And somebody prayed for her. He'd been going to a Full Gospel Businessman's fellowship. And his son had some great needs in his life, and he was pressing in to know the Lord better, and the Lord had told him some things. So he prayed for my wife's leg, and we saw it grow right out in front of our eyes. And that was, let's see, 30 years ago now. So that was my first exposure to the fact that, gee, Jesus is interested in our today, not just our hereafter. That's pretty amazing. But I didn't know what to do with it. And I walked with the Lord a little bit there, and the people there were some people from different, different branches of the Christian church that gathered on a Friday night, like tonight. And it was the choir director, the organist, who had people in his house. His wife was musically inclined also. And people came from Methodist churches, non-denomination, a bunch of different churches. And they were all roughly our age and had fairly young children. And we got together and would sing some praise songs. And somebody would have a little word, and we'd have a little something to eat together. And it was good. But I resisted that for a long time. Even though I started to read the word and started to go to church, things were starting to happen. And after that brother prayed for me to receive the baptism in the Spirit, you know, I started to realize that, you know, the Holy Spirit could speak through me, but I didn't continue with that too much for a while. I thought, well, gee, you know, that was just an experience, a one-time thing. But even though some more mature brother at the church had cautioned me, a medical doctor who went there, he said, once you receive the baptism in the Spirit, continue in that. Don't just put them on the shelf. Don't forget. Well, I did forget. So, you know, sometimes we don't always heed those who were older and wiser. And but I'm beginning to learn. I need to listen to those who are older and wiser, provided it goes along with the word. Anyway, long story short, help me to shorten it, Lord, the way you want. We left that church when I started to have some questions. And I started feeling that we were called out of there. You know, this is a long time ago. This is decades ago. This is before the movement to bring in homosexuality into the Episcopal Church. That was before all that even was dreamed of. You know, it doesn't fit with the word. You know, it's not that God hates homosexuals. He loves the people. He just doesn't like the spirit in them. I think it's called a spirit of Abaddon or something like that. I think that's what... anyway, one brother pointed out. So they just need to repent, cast it out, and they can be the way they're created to be. No, they weren't created that way from the beginning. I had some garbage on board as a Christian. I had a lot of it. I just didn't know it wasn't me. I didn't know that after I accepted Jesus and after I received the baptism in the Spirit with the evidence of speaking another language, that I hadn't arrived. I just stuck my toe across the threshold. I just was dipping my foot in the water before I went swimming, as it were, you know, first up to the ankle, then up to the knee, and getting myself up a little deeper into the word, if you know what I mean, getting washed in the water of the word. And there's a whole process there of sanctification. There's a process there of hearing enough of the word to get convicted, not condemned. There's a difference between conviction of the Holy Spirit, which leads to repentance, which brings about what they call in the Bible a peaceable fruit of righteousness to them which are exercised thereby. It's a good thing. Versus condemnation, which just makes you feel like, you know, I'm just a piece of dirt and the devil beating up on me and saying, see, you're no good, you'll never amount to anything. That's just the devil's tactics to make you feel that when you've repented of something, you need to keep repenting of it. Now, once you've repented of something and God has forgiven you, it's under the blood, it's done, it's finished. But don't go back. Don't go dabbling in it again. If you do go back, then you do need to repent. I'm not trying to say there's no place for... There is always a need to repentance if you get convicted by the Holy Spirit or if you go back to doing something which you obviously know, you know, just common sense or the word teaches you is wrong, then you get to repent. And repentance means you turn around 180 degrees and you go the other direction. But for me, after I went to a ministry down in Georgia... 10 years ago, it was February 10 years ago, the first time, and then about a month later, they had a For My Life program at BN Health, and then I went to For Their Life program a month later, and then I went back several times because it's like peeling an onion. You do a little crying along the way, but you get rid of some layers of garbage, and you get down to who we're supposed to be and get rid of the other stuff, like the spirit of fear. I knew the first time, before we even went the first time, and believe it or not, yes, the Lord can use some other ministries that may not be 100% pure, but he can use them too to help us. And they helped me realize that God's not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, 2 Timothy 1:7. But I was very much influenced by an ungodly spirit of fear, not just a fear of God, which is good. So I got to deal with that, to repent, and some people knew what they were doing, got to say, you know, go in Jesus' name, and it went. And then, like Pat was warning, no, Dr. Sabrina was warning us, once you get delivered from something, then you have to walk it out. The devil comes back to see. If he comes back and you find, you know, the house is swept out and clean, but you're not filled up with the Holy Ghost, you're not filled up with the Word, then he tries to move in with seven more nasty buddies. And you don't want those freeloaders in the spirit realm. You don't want those nasty birds in your house because it's your house, and the devil thinks it's his house. It used to be his house. We all used to belong to the enemy at one point. And that's something that I even heard, and this may bother a few people, I even heard the senior Billy Graham. You know, Billy Graham, everybody thinks he's a wonderful guy. And I was hearing, he was preaching a pretty good message. I don't listen to much Christian programming on TV. But I guess it was when I went over to my mother-in-law's. I think she might have had it on. But I was listening, and I was like, wow, he's preaching about the blood. My goodness, he's preaching about believing in Jesus. You know, this sounded pretty good. And then he said about, you know, about not being as pure as we were when we were born. Well, yes, we can pick up some nasty stuff through life, but we're not born sinless. And that's something that my dad used to struggle with. He couldn't understand how anybody could think we were born with, you know, any kind of sin passed on. But I'm sorry. That's what happened. We were all descended from Adam and Eve. And they opened the door in the spirit realm to some nasty stuff. And it passed down and passed down. And then, you know, everybody got wiped out for Noah and his family. And there was still some stuff in there. You remember Noah, after the ark experience and stuff, he had the vineyard, and then he got drunk. And then, you know, one of his sons saw him. You know, anyway, you can read about that. But he wasn't perfect either. You know, Father Abraham wasn't perfect. He lied. King David certainly wasn't perfect. He had some garbage. So we've all had some garbage in our lives, and we're born with some of that stuff. You see, most of us who've had children realize when the child's growing up, I want what I want when I want it. No, Mommy, no, Daddy, I'm not going to do it. Or have a temper tantrum or something. You say, wait a minute, what's going on here? We've just lavished love on this child and given them hugs and kisses and fed them and given them nice clothes to wear. Why are they carrying on like this? Well, it's the spirit realm. It's not really them. And that's what I had a recent experience. I had to bind the spirits in my grandson that were acting out. Yes, a sweet little five-year-old can act out. And yes, it's amazing. I don't know, probably meandering a little bit more than I needed to, but I want to get to the point that after I went to Georgia to the Be in Health Ministry For My Life program, I began to realize, because I had a whole lot of garbage leave me that time, the first time, a lot of stuff. Our marriage was put back together. I was taking thyroid medicine for 30 years. I got healed of that. I didn't need it anymore. I followed up with my doctor. I used to have frequent sinus infections. I got healed of that because my immune system was depressed because of that cortisol drip from that nasty spirit of fear. You know, they understand the biology as well as the spiritual aspects of it, to a degree anyway. And they may not understand some aspects that Dr. Pat and Dr. Sabrina understand probably a little bit better than they do in some areas about the, you know, the dark side and about the people that have entertained Asmodeus and all. They don't get into that as much. They don't understand that as well. And they don't focus on the spirit of pride. A lot of people don't like to talk about that spirit of pride because that's and Pat does. You know, she'll talk about Leviathan and all of that. But, you know, it's in Job, but it's a nasty spirit, and it's something that I think is really, really hard, you know. I mean, you think about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they thought they had it all together back in Jesus, when Jesus was walking here in the flesh, you know. And sometimes, I was reading one of the first books that Pat did, and she was talking that she'd been only saved for a month, and she came across somebody who had some, you know, dabbling in witchcraft and been a lesbian, and she was starting to feel a little bit self-righteous. Wait a minute, I can't go there. I wasn't born righteous. You know, I just came into the kingdom, you know, and I have to have compassion on all these people because they're just people like me They may have had different demons than I had, but they have some demons. They need help too. And that's what we all are. We're just people. And we picked up some garbage on the way. Anyway, after my several trips to Pleasant Valley and pressing in to know the Lord, for me, I really wanted to get to know the Lord intimately. So I would, I mean, because that's what it's all about. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, you know. And it says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. That's what the book says. Well, how do you do that? Well, it says we're made nigh by the blood. Well, the blood must be pretty important. So the Lord's had me on a little journey for the last, I don't know how many years. And especially since I heard a brother talk about, he spent 25 years studying about communion. As a healthcare person, he realized that the Christians seem to be just about as sick as the people in the world. And it shouldn't be that way. Shouldn't be that way at all, according to what's written in the book. It says, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you'll be sozo and your household. You'll be saved, healed, delivered, preserved, and made whole, and your household. And then I came across a couple of ministers that had been understanding that, yes, the thing down to Georgia, that was an eye-opener, because they simply got people to repent of their sins. And after they repented, then the demons didn't have a legal right, and they just cast them out. And then people got healed. I mean, it is really very simple. And yet people have to be willing to humble themselves. Pat's talking about humbling ourselves. And that spirit of pride is a really nasty thing, especially religious pride. But my mama, my grandmama told me that only what's done in the Catholic Church, only what's done in the Methodist Church, only what's done in the Baptist Church, only what's done in the Episcopal Church, you know, only the Quakers have got it right, only the whatever, you know, only the Pentecostals have got it right. Everybody else is all wrong. Well, you know what? I think everybody's got a little part of the puzzle, piece of the puzzle. The Catholics have some need of some serious help there. But they do have some understanding about communion, but it's twisted, unfortunately. I mean, because it is very important. They just have it twisted. The priest doesn't change anything. They're still just wafers and wine or juice or whatever. The human priest doesn't change it. It's the word of God. It's when we become part of the body of Christ. And yet even the Lord can use that. I talked to a brother who's a real believer now, and he was in the Catholic Church. And when he got revelation about having to receive the Lord Jesus, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name. Well, he didn't know about the name yet, but he received Jesus when he received the bread and the wine. And he didn't know that their wafer symbol was occultic and whatever. I didn't either. I just didn't know. You can get a chick track about our Roman Catholics, Christians, and you can read it for yourself and see what you think. I don't like to focus on the dark side a whole lot. I'd rather get to know Jesus better. But I've gotten pretty close to the dark side in certain aspects. And, of course, I was controlled by the enemy as far as that spirit of fear. I was controlled by the enemy in other areas. It says, to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey. So if God has not given us the spirit of fear, then where did it come from? Right? So if it didn't come from the Creator God, it came from that other God, the God of this world, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what he wants to do. And he does a pretty good job of it, doesn't he? I mean, you know, he really does. And he knows his time is really short now. So he's going around roaring as a lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he's trying to do that. But one thing that's really amazed me is when I heard, what was his brother's name? Miller something, Dr. Miller. When he was talking after 20-something years of studying communion, he started to see that when people have communion, if they do it with understanding and not just as a religious tradition, they can be healed. And that really amazed me because they don't teach it that way in Georgia. In Georgia, they have great reverence for communion. They will not take communion but a few times a year, and they do it with several hours of teaching, making sure everybody examines their hearts long before taking it in detail. And it's wonderful we can judge ourselves so we won't have to be judged. Because, you know, vengeance you know, comes from the Lord. He's going to get even, and it begins with the house of God. So we better clean up our act. We better sanctify ourselves. We better get ready. And a lot of people say, well, my spirit was made perfect when I accepted Jesus. Well, they haven't read 2 Corinthians 7:1, because that's written to believers. Dearly beloved, I wish above all things that you may, how does it go? Oh, I'm thinking the wrong way. I have to look it up. I know it starts, dearly beloved. It's written to believers, 2 Corinthians 7:1. I just want to read that. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, the promises are for the believers. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And that's something you don't hear too much in the church. Some of the churches I've been involved in, I was in a independent Pentecostal church for 7 years, and they kind of thought, you know, that we're all free, we're all set, you know, we just accepted Jesus, believed on his blood, and we're good to go. Although the pastor there did cast out a lot of demons from lots of Christians, a whole lot of them, and it was his opinion, unlike some others, that all sicknesses come from demonic attack. I think that's stretching. I think some things can be just plain old accidents, but yeah, there's a spirit of trauma. There are people who have repeated accidents, and that's demonic. So I don't know. I don't claim to have it all figured out. But the pressing in to get to know the Lord, I've seen some amazing things. And she asked for a testimony. 2 days ago, when we were having the call, I had a bit of discomfort in my left wrist, and I had prayed with my wife, as I had prayed a few days before that for my right hand, and the Lord had healed that in less than 48 hours. But I prayed for my left wrist with her, according to the Word of God, you know, if two of you on earth agree as touching anything you ask, it shall be done for my Father which is in heaven, and he did it. And he completely delivered me from that I could hardly hold a glass of water, let alone carry heavy things. And I'm just very grateful to the Lord that he did that. So he's teaching me, but he's teaching me there's a lot more to get to know him. And I just had, I know Pat was talking earlier about not being too critical. There's a balance there. We need to not be like a guppy or a goldfish and just eat anything that comes along. But we can't be all puffed up with pride, because God scorneth the scorners. And if somebody wants to know where that is, the Holy Spirit convicted me on this one not all that long ago. So don't think I've arrived. Don't think I'm perfect. I'm not. I'm just another gorgeous hunk of dust like the rest of us, working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Proverbs chapter 3, the second to last verse, is talking about the Lord. It says, surely he scorneth the scorners, but giveth grace unto the lowly. A scorner is somebody who thinks they know everything. And that's why they look down their long noses at the plebeians, at those who are less than them. You know what I mean? And I can't do that, you know, because, you know, I have to be open enough to receive, and yet I need to have a gift of discernment to not just take anything. Because, you know, I went to a Pentecostal church seven years ago or something, and the pastor wanted to go hear Todd Bentley instead of having the regular Wednesday night prayer session. And I didn't ask the Lord. I didn't pray and fast. And I'd heard Todd Bentley being interviewed, but I had this little check in my spirit. It was like, don't go. It's like, oh, I didn't know why. I didn't feel critical. I just didn't go. So if the Holy Spirit comes along and says, don't go, then don't go. So it says in the last days there are a lot of people who are saying, there's an anointed one over here, rush over and hear him. There's another anointed one over there, rush over and hear them. It says, you know, that don't run after them. Don't go out into the wilderness. When the Lord Jesus returns, the real Lord Jesus, the same one who ascended after the, you know, the resurrection, when he comes back, we'll all know it. You're not going to miss it. There's going to be a huge trumpet. We're going to hear the, you know, it's going to be like lightning from one side of the sky to the other. He's not coming back. And yet, of course, the enemy would love to copycat that. And I think Pat's talked about that in the past, haven't you, Pat? The enemy would like to come up with a false return of the Lord Jesus before he comes. And the Bible warns us about that, by the way, that before you get to Revelation 19, where Jesus comes on his white horse, it talks about there's another one with a bow in his hand that comes on a steed, but he's the Antichrist. The Antichrist comes in trying to look like he's the anointed one, but he's not. So we do definitely need that gift of discernment from the Holy Spirit. We need to be in the book so we know what's true versus what's not true. Because God is true. It says that in John 3:33. God is true. It says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth who comes to guide us into all truth. And it says Satan is the father of lies. So there's a very clear distinction there. But sometimes Satan comes disguised as an angel of light. And he's pretty tricky, isn't he? He can look like the real deal at first glance. So I understand why people can be hesitant. But I can assure you, Dr. Pat Holliday and Dr. Sabrina are real Christians, as far as I can tell. They're working out their salvation with fear and trembling, and the Lord has used them mightily. And I'm very grateful to have the opportunity to learn and to continue growing in the Lord, because he uses anointed preachers to bring the word out, and he loves us. He wants to feed us. And like Pat was talking earlier, there's a lot of hungry, emaciated Christians who are spiritually weak because they haven't been feeding on the word, because Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God shall man live. So we need to feed on the word. And
yes.
And to find out how to know that you have been accepted in the beloved, how you can receive his gift of righteousness. It's a gift. We don't earn it. We receive it. And then we work out our salvation. Amen.
Amen. We've got some calls.
Okay.
So let's see what we have up here tonight. Thank you, brother. That was a good testimony. Amen. Hello, you're on the air. Well, I somehow flipped that person off. You just call right back in. Hello.
Hi.
You're on the air.
Hi, it's Sherry.
Hi, Sherry. How are you doing?
Oh, I got to be careful what comes out of my mouth, right?
I could probably
use a little bit.
What you got to do is you got to, when you're asking for prayer, you have to. It isn't going to hurt you to talk about what's going on, and then we pray. So, I mean, you have to say what's going on. So I would just go ahead and say it,
yeah,
Sherry,
I had one person once say that they were all bound up trying to say the right thing, and said, because it's true, death and life is in the power of the tongue. But so what they came up with was, say, I have some symptoms of. And because people don't have to have a disease or whatever, a problem, but they can have symptoms of X, Y, and Z and not actually have the problem. You know what
that's
I mean?
Right. That's good.
Okay. I would say probably curses and witchcraft.
Uh-huh. Well, Sherry, what did they do?
It's just, again, it's going through my ears and my spine, and, it's all around me. So I think I'm bound up, like you said.
Mm-hmm. And have you been listening to some of the tapes?
Yeah, I have. They're awesome. They're really awesome.
And are they helping?
Yeah, they're helping. They're helping. I'm definitely doing the work.
That's good, because see, it's as you understand what's going on in deliverance, you open up for more deliverance. It's like Dr. Sabrina, myself, and Marshall. We still get deliverance. And I've been around since the 70s, and so has Brother Marshall. So as God gives you understanding is when your spirit opens up for more deliverance, because then you get to know that Jesus really is real and he really is more powerful than than some little witch or even a movement on the earth. That's nothing to him. I mean, to us it may seem to be very big, but as you grow in your faith as to who Jesus is and how powerful he is, they're nothing, really and truthfully they are. And so, Sherry, you came out of the New Age movement. And when you came out of the New Age movement, you know, they had levels in there. In other words, you started out and you were just a member of the group. But as you learn more and open up more, you kind of progress on up the line so that these various levels that you go through, you become more important to them, you become more hooked into them. And did you get into a higher level of that stuff, or were you just a member?
No, I wouldn't say. No, I think that it's probably mind control, right?
Yes.
I would say that it's mind control.
Yes. And that's what witchcraft is the devil works in a person's mind. Jesus works in a person's spirit. But Jesus uses the person's mind for them to connect into him. In other words, when you're going up on miracleinternetchurch.com and you're listening to those MP3s up there, you still have to take the Bible and you have to go and look up scriptures and you have to ask God questions. Isn't that true?
Yes, absolutely.
And so you're putting your hand to the plow and you're learning more, and so you're getting more open to get deliverance. And that's what we need. For the people.
And I feel like that, you know, it somehow exponentially gets worse for me as opposed to starting to get some relief.
Okay. Now, what happens a lot of times is the devils want to try your spirit. In other words, they know what you believe. They know where you are. This is why we encourage you, as you are faithful to do, is to call in and get prayer, because of the fact each time you take a step, your faith grows. But the devil, sometimes they know that they're going to have to leave. Whenever we take authority, Brother Marshall and Dr. Sabrina and I, we have the authority to make them leave. But you see, you have that same authority. The difference is that you don't really know that yet. Because like in witchcraft, you know, I just explained, you just keep growing in levels. Well,
right.
In Christianity, the more you know about the word and the closer you get to Jesus, the bigger your faith gets. So eventually, by your submission to continue and to hold on to Jesus and to push forward, the day will come when you will be able to take care of all of those spirits yourself. And
that'll be a great day.
And see, that's what we're aiming for, is for you to be able to do that. And you do that through experiences. Now, the New Age movement, it's a nasty movement, and it's world-connected. And unfortunately, this particular movement is filled with power, because what you're dealing with in the New Age movement is world power. And you're dealing with world spirits that
have control over humans that have totally connected into them, and they're able to use those humans. So the spirit works through human beings. And if you had, let's say that you were connected to a group, the human beings that you were connected to are connected into those world powers, and they have the object of coming to keep you bound.
Mm.
Well, see, we have to defeat the world spirits that are over those people that have you bound, because they continue to do rituals, and they have to be obedient to those spirits, you see. So one of the defenses that I want you to get tonight for yourself is...
Okay, let me write it down. I'm going to set down the phone. Okay.
It's return to sender. And if you get on the blog talk and recast, I think we got two programs on return to sender. Okay. Now, here's what happens. When you learn, read that, take notes on the scriptures that we give, and then do what you learn. In other words, open your mouth and do what you learn in prayer, and it'll work. When I first got saved, I learned under Richard Vineyard how to bind spirits, and that's what I did. That's all I knew. And so I would go around and I would bind the spirits over my daddy. I would bind the spirits over my family. If somebody asked me for prayer, I would bind the spirit. And in the very beginning, I didn't even know to loose things. I was just going and binding spirits everywhere. And it worked. And it worked because I opened my mouth and I was doing the word. And that's what I knew. That's all I knew. And God would honor what I knew. So you have more power with your connection with Jesus than all of those devils and all of the devils in the world. So that's what we're telling you. We are joining the three of us tonight with you to bind those things that are attacking you. But what we're telling you that... when you go and listen to Return to Sender, do what it tells you to do. Like I ran over and bound the spirits in front of my daddy. I just went over and I said, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Those devils went crazy because I did it right out loud. And I saw the response in him. And the Lord had to teach me. He said, look, you don't do that right out loud. You do it in prayer, and then you go minister. But I just did, and I saw that the devils reacted when I did it right out loud. So the devils are going to respond to you, too, is what we're getting at. So I'm going to ask Dr. Sabrina to pray for you, and then Brother Marshall's going to come up and share a scripture or two with you. And open to take other calls, folks, and the number is 805-292-0300. And then you dial 1 and we'll know that you want to speak. Dr. Sabrina, pray with us.
Thank you.
You still there, Sherry?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I guess Dr. Sabrina's getting into the phone. I just wanted to see what happened there. Well, while we're waiting for Dr. Sabrina, can I just give you a couple of verses?
That would be great. Thank you.
Okay. You got something to write with?
Yes, I do.
Okay. It's really helpful in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, starting in verse 4, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So,
yeah, I've been praying that all day today.
Okay.
Yep. I say in the mighty name of Jesus, I command my thoughts to come under the obedience and captivity to Jesus Christ, as it is written in parentheses 10:5.
Okay, so but you speak it out loud, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think the thing that helps, you know, it says in Revelation, I think it's 12:11, that we overcome the accuser of the brethren by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives unto the death. So it's the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and we have to love Jesus more than our own natural life. And if you would go back and find one of the teachings on communion, we've done a couple of them, but there's one that was the Holy Spirit was speaking through me more than I would ever imagine. But anyway, there's some really basic things there. But when you have the blood on your lips, okay, that it's just as obnoxious to the devil as if you were a bouncer in a bar and some guy had a lot of alcohol in his breath and was swearing at you. You know what I mean? It would be just as obnoxious to you, you know, as a human being to have a drunk person come at you as if you have just a little bit of the blood of the Lamb of God on your lips, because that blood has the name of God in it, okay? Because it's not ordinary blood. It's the God who created the heavens and the earth, okay? If you look up Acts 20:28, it talks about the fact that it's the blood of God. Because some people just think of Jesus as this cute little baby who was born in Bethlehem, who really isn't Emmanuel or God with us or whatever. They don't realize it really is the blood of God that was shed to purchase us, okay? And when you realize how valuable you are to him, to Jesus, that he shed his blood for you, it makes you a whole lot bolder against those little spirits. Okay?
Okay. So okay. I plead the blood of Jesus from the top of my ears and my lips.
Yeah, if you have communion, you actually take the elements, and you can do it yourself at home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And read Psalm 91 out loud, and then command all thoughts to be captive. Okay?
Okay.
That blood is speaking on your behalf. It says Christ, mm-hmm, our Passover is sacrificed for us. It's present tense. He's there with you. It says he's in heaven now making intercession for us in Hebrews 9:24. He's in heaven now making intercession for us. And we have now received the atonement in Romans 5:11 or something like that. But if you go and you and ask the Holy Spirit to teach you, and he will, because that's how you overcome. And it's amazing. And it's also one of the ways, you know, you're looking for sanctification, for purification from these nasty things, and we've all had nasty things in our backgrounds, whatever it is, from relatives or personal experience. And there's several scriptures in the book of toward the end of Hebrews.
Okay.
And one of them is in Hebrews 13:12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. So, yes, he uses the word to sanctify us, and yes, the Holy Spirit sanctifies us, and God the Father sanctifies us. There's a whole, the Godhead is involved in our sanctification. But it does talk about being sanctified by the blood there, and also, I think it's in Hebrews 10:29, counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified. It talks about the blood of the covenant sanctifies us, and about the spirit of grace. So it's, you know, we're saved by grace, and you can see the grace of God when you're looking at that little red cup. the little cup of red juice or red wine or whatever you're having. Yeah, it doesn't have to be. You know, you can use saltines and water, but you have to know that it represents the blood of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking back at you. Because it says in he's I mean, you may not see him, but by faith you do. It says Moses saw him who's invisible. Well, how do you see somebody who's invisible?
And right.
It tells us in the word to fix our eyes on Jesus. Well, part of that's the written word, yes, but it's not a drawing of Jesus. It's you know the elements of communion. He said, "I will meet with you there over the Ark of the Covenant." You know, and what did they sprinkle on the Ark of the Covenant? But blood. It's the blood that atones. So, you know, Leviticus 17:11. So I would encourage you, because once you realize that he purchased you with his own blood, the blood of
right.
God, it will make you extremely bold. And when you discover his name, his I am that I am, and that he wrote it with blood, and that's how the Israelites were delivered, because of his blood on their houses. And when
mm-hmm.
you have that blood on your house, then you hold fast the rejoicing of the hope firm and to the end. Because you know that, you know, God said, he withheld not his own son, but freely gave him up for us all. How shall he not also with him, with Jesus, freely give us all things? He doesn't just give it to us by ourselves. We're not by ourselves. Jesus says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. But anyway, the teaching on communion, I don't want to get into the whole thing, but the teaching on communion, I think, will cause you to be more intimate with Jesus, for one thing, which is the main thing. I mean, that's the whole thing God's looking for. He just wants to walk with each of us in the cool of the day. And if he's hanging out with you, you're not going to be pestered by the enemy as much, because you're going to be constantly praising him and thanking him. God inhabits the praises of his people, because you know, thank you for the gift of righteousness, Lord. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. You know, you can just be thanking him, and the devil doesn't like to hear that stuff, you know? So anyway, so I just wanted to encourage you with a couple of those things. And I, pretty much every day, I remind myself of the price that he paid for me and for each one of us. He took my cup of cursing, he took your cup of cursing, that we might receive his cup of blessing. Well, the cup of blessing doesn't, you know, involve being bound by the enemy. It involves us binding the mind blinder, you know, the one who's coming to blind our minds. We bind him in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
So he will... So if you read Galatians 3:13-14 and get it hidden in your mind and eventually hidden in your heart, it will really, you realize the price that Jesus paid, you know, that he hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He became our curse so that we could be blessed. So anyway, obviously the word helps, but when you combine it with the blood, because he... It says in 1 John chapter 5, he did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And some people take that as the waters of baptism.
Right.
Okay. But the water very often in Scripture refers to the water of the Word. Jesus says in Psalm 20,
Mom, it's you.
Jesus refers himself as water poured forth. But it talked about being washed in the water of the Word in Ephesians 5:26.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I think I hear Brother Bill in the background there.
No, that's Alex.
That's Alex. Can you hear us?
I heard somebody. Is that Alex?
Yeah, Alex is here. Here, Alex.
Okay, yeah. I didn't hear Dr. Sabrina, so I just started filling in with a couple little comments that I thought might help her.
Thank you. Thank you.
Don't go off the air yet. Save it.
Yeah, that's good.
It isn't working. Is it working? No.
It's working fine.
They can't hear me?
I can hear you.
Yes,
Beth.
We can.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, in that case, Sabrina.
It's a little rough, but I can hear you.
Okay. Just don't pick that up. Just leave it like it is and talk to it.
I was saying before we get cut off.
Wow.
That there's some people that are listening to this broadcast that the Lord is telling you to call in. He's been prompting you to do it for some time, and you've been refusing him, but that's the Lord telling you to do that. Please obey him. He's God, you know. And there are those of you that think you might ought to call in, but you're on the fence. Please come off of the fence and call in tonight, please. The number is 805-292-0300 and press 1 to speak with us. We're going to continue with our sister here. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, our sister has repented of all her sins and iniquity, and we're going to pray for her tonight. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we take authority and dominion over this spirit that's running through her ears in Jesus' name. The spirit that you, how did you say it was doing? It's running through your ears and where else?
It's an attack.
Yeah, through my ears and spinal cord and all over.
And attachment through her spinal cord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we sever every ungodly attachment to her in Jesus' name. Any soul tie that may remain or is trying to come back and reinforce itself, we sever it asunder in the name of Jesus. We bind up every attachment, we chain it with everlasting chains, and we cage it in Jesus' name. Every attachment to her spinal column. Sister, do you have any tattoos?
I'm sorry.
Do you have any tattoos?
No.
Okay. You've never had any?
No.
Okay, good. Any attachment to her spine, Lord, in the spirit realm, we sever it now in Jesus' name. We disconnect it from her. We disconnect all garlands and chains and all animal spirits that might be attacking this sister. We devour them with the blood of Jesus. Father, we bind up all cultic
technologies, satellites.
All spirits attacking this sister through technology, through the satellites, through the computer systems, through the cell phone systems, or through any other connection that requires wavelengths or moving through the air. We bind the prince of the power of the air attacking her life in Jesus' name. We bind up the listeners and the watchers in Jesus' name. We blind the watchers and we deafen the listeners in Jesus' name. Father, we sever any attack coming to this sister through water, using the elements of the earth, the wind, fire, and water in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, and we put her in a covering of the blood of Jesus whenever she comes in contact with water, in the name of Jesus. Father, we bind up all cultic spirits, all demonic religious experiences, any memory lines that are running through this sister, Father, we bind up those demonic memory lines in Jesus' name. We forbid them to continue. Just like that little thing plays the music over in our ears over and over, and it's not a song that we're singing. Father, those things, those demons move spiritually in our minds the same way. They play those same little reels over and over. And we bind them and cage them in Jesus' name that they can no longer manifest in Jesus' name. We bind up any spirits from connecting to demons that are yet to be cast out of her in Jesus' name and making a connection through them in the name of Jesus. We bind them and cage them and chain them and sever their agreement and their connection with her in Jesus' name. We wholly sever this sister from every spirit that is not of God in Jesus' name. Now, sister, we need you to take a 3 deep breaths and cough those out. Thank you. And everyone else listening, please participate. All spirits of deja vu, all spirits that astral travel to her, all levitation, all confusing voices, all spirits of superstition, spirits bringing sickness, accident, sexual stimulation, or any other demonic manifestation, we bind you, cage you, and chain you and command you to come up and out of this sister in Jesus' name. Every attack that is coming against this sister's life, we send it back against the attacker 10 billion fold with perpetual repetition in Jesus' name. Every instrument of warfare that's being used against this sister, every hook we unhook her now from you in Jesus' name, and we demolish the hook in Jesus' name. Every lasso, we cut you off in Jesus' name, and we sever its loop from around the sister in Jesus' name. Father, all spirits that have been familiar with her in the past that are coming back against her to torment her in Jesus' name, we bind you and cage you, and we remove your powers from you in Jesus' name and send those powers to Jesus Christ, for all power belongs to God. We thank you, Father, for your protection in the sister's life in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for your healing of her mind and her emotions as she continually experiences deliverance and gets set free, Lord. We thank you for her increase in faith, Father, in Jesus' name, as she continues to study your word and to walk forward in your truth in Jesus' name. We bind up all satanic worship where this sister is concerned. We bind up all rituals where this sister is concerned, all black magic rites, all voodoo, all martial arts, all meditation, all transcendental meditation, any works that any coven or group of witches or witchcraft persons involved in voodoo, sorcery, or witchcraft, we bind you up in Jesus' name. And the works that you send against this sister, we send against you sevenfold with perpetual repetition in Jesus' name. Sister, take 3 deep breaths and cough.
Okay.
We bind up all slavery, all demonic manifestations in her life in Jesus' name. We close all doors of disobedience in Jesus' name and bind up all fears in the name of Jesus. Every fear and all torment, all continual and perpetual torment in Jesus' name. Every spirit that has not yet been cast out of her, we bind you up and cage you and call you out of her regardless of what your name is in Jesus' name. We don't need your name, but you are commanded to come out in the name of Jesus. You are commanded to obey the name of Jesus Christ. Sister, call. Now, sister, you need to worship. The Holy Spirit's telling me that you need to spend more time in praise and worship of the Lord. That when these attacks come, you need to get your praise music on, and you need to worship the Lord. That's what the Holy Spirit's telling me to tell you.
Okay.
All right, and you need to also play the scriptures over you all night long and during the day, because you're stepped in pretty deep, and it takes a while before you completely set free and the attacks diminish.
Okay. Yeah, I've been playing the scriptures at night, so I'll continue to do that.
All right. Okay. And what we want you to do is to lift your hands up now.
Okay.
Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Fill those empty places.
It was garbled. I'm sorry.
Pardon?
It was garbled. I just said 3.
Places.
Can you restate it?
Fill these empty places.
I heard Lord Jesus, sorry.
Yeah, she wants you to ask the Lord.
The Holy Spirit, Marshall.
Yeah, she wants you to ask the Lord to baptize you afresh with the Holy Ghost and holy fire and fill every empty place. Amen?
Oh, okay. Beloved Jesus, I ask you to baptize me in the Holy Ghost and the holy...
Fire.
Fire?
Fire.
In all of the empty spaces that were vacated out of me. And I thank you and I love you for doing that. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Now just praise him.
We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I thank you for dying for my sins on the cross. I'm extremely grateful. You are my Lord and Master, and there is no other. And I just praise you and honor you, Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you.
In mighty Jesus' name.
Okay, Marshall. We command those spirits to come out that are hiding and then lead her in the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, we command every one of those hidden spirits to come out, loose, Sherry, right now and not return in Jesus' mighty name by the power of the Holy Spirit because of the blood of the covenant. And I plead and sprinkle the blood of Jesus as a priest unto my high priest, the Lord Jesus, over Sherry and all that pertains to her, over every lintel and every post of her dwelling, and over that temple of the Holy Spirit. I plead and sprinkle the blood of Jesus over Sherry, over her heart, over her mind, in Jesus' name. And I command every foul and unclean spirit loose and go where Jesus Christ of Nazareth tells you to go. I command you to go into the cage. I lock you in with the key of David. I command you to be brought before the feet of Jesus to be judged before the time now, for now is the day of salvation in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Spirit because of the blood of the covenant in Jesus' name. And Jesus said, thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. And the Lord, Sherry, is your light and your salvation. Whom shall you fear? The Lord is the strength of your life. Of whom shall you be afraid? Like it says in Psalm 27, yeah. Verse 1. Amen. He is your strength. And Father, we thank you, Father, for sending the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Ghost, Father God. And we thank you that John the Baptist said of Jesus that he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire in Luke 3:16. I know Sherry knows John 3:16, but in Luke 3:16, Jesus has come to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. That's his zeal. That's the baptism because he's washed you with his own blood in Jesus' name. And you know that he loves you and he's washed your sins in his own blood, right?
Yes.
Yes, because that's really, really, really powerful. Bunch of verses there in Revelation 1, 5, and 6. That's because he's making you a king and a priest to his Father and his God. You know, because of the blood of the covenant in Jesus.
Right. Thank you, Lord, and I accept
it's a supernatural protection. It really is. So Father, we thank you that Sherry, and you know, I personally, Sherry, when I do this, I ask the Father to have Jesus baptize into the Holy Ghost and holy fire. But it says that Jesus is the baptizer, right?
Right, right.
Because he's the one who baptizes us, not in water per se, but in the Holy Ghost and fire. And that fire, the enemy can't get through the bloodline. And the blood and the fire are synonymous in some areas in the Bible. For example, when Father Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Jesus is the Lamb of God, and he is our burnt offering. He took the wrath of God for Sherry and for me and Dr. Sabrina and Dr. Pat and each one of us. He took the wrath for each one of us. That's why he washes us in his blood, and his blood protects us. And our faith in that blood is the shield that quenches all the fiery darts, not most of them. You need to read that over in Ephesians about the armor, you know, and it's that shield of faith. But what's the faith in? It's the faith in his blood covenant, because God can't lie. The strength of Israel will not lie nor repent. It says in 1 Samuel 15:29, the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent. He is your strength, and he has all power in heaven and earth, and he gives you, Sherry, and me and every believer, and Dr. Sabrina and Dr. Pat, power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, rejoice not that the little spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And that's what Dr. Sabrina is telling you, that when you rejoice that your name is written in heaven, you rejoice that Jesus is engraving your name in the palms of his hand, that the enemy doesn't like that because he knows that you know that you belong to Jesus. And Jesus is protecting you. His arm is not too short to save. He has all power in heaven and earth. And when you're in the presence, in his presence is fullness of joy. And when you, the word presence there means his face. And his eyes are red with wine. His eyes is a flame of fire. And the king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. So his eyes are red with wine. His eyes is, to the enemy, that's flame of fire. It's reminding the enemy, oh, I'm going to the lake of fire really soon. I think I'm going to leave Sherry alone. I go bother somebody else. Okay?
Right.
Because you are too precious to Jesus.
you know, and he has all power. You know, it's like you have the biggest, strongest bodyguard in the universe, which you do, and the enemy can't touch you. If you are pursuing the Lord, and we know he's pursuing you, then you don't have to worry about anything. You really don't. It's not worth the effort. And if you're constantly praising him, the enemy just runs away because he knows that he knows that you know that you belong to him. And that's over in 1 Peter 1:18, that you're redeemed not with corruptible things, the silver and gold, but the incorruptible blood as of a lamb without spot or blemish. It'll make you so bold against the enemy. Okay?
Okay, thank you. Okay. God bless all of you.
So it's good to keep asking to be filled with the Holy Ghost each day. It doesn't have to be a one-shot deal. There's a scripture that talks about when you have new wine, you need to put it in new wineskins, and then both are preserved. Have you heard that those words?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just beginning to get revelation on that, understanding on that, because when you hear the word with understanding, the enemy can't take it away from you. You need to hear it with understanding, and I didn't understand those scriptures until just the last week or so. And the wineskin, that's these temples of the Holy Spirit. They have to be oiled with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit is like oil poured forth, and they have to be soaked in the water of the Word to be supple so they won't leak, okay? And the new wine is his life. It's his soul, his blood. He's pouring himself into you, that you're a chosen vessel. And as long as you are washed in the water of the Word and you're oiled with the Holy Ghost, you won't leak anymore. Amen?
Thanks.
Amen. And before you hear the word out loud, Dr. Sabrina said to play it all the time, which is really good, but at least once a day, command the enemy to not steal the word of God from your mind and heart. And that the word of God must come into your heart and mind with understanding. And I claim that, for I decree and declare for everyone who's listening and will listen to any of these Blog Talk broadcasts in Jesus' name. And all the information related to it in Jesus' name. Yes, Dr. Pat.
Let's just let her fill with the Holy Spirit and get into the Word. And can you hear me very well now?
We can hear you, but it is a little garbled.
Yeah.
But I can hear you.
All
but
right.
A little bad.
Shelley, thank you for calling.
Thank you. God bless you guys.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Okay. 347.
Hi, everyone. This is Chelsea from New York.
Why don't you turn your speakers off?
It is off.
Okay. Speak into the phone.
Okay. So I wanted to call in and give a praise report and a testimony. I called on Wednesday because someone really got me upset and confused, you know, called me a devil and all sort of things. And thankfully, they got rid of him. So I don't have to deal with him anymore. And I just give thanks to the Lord for taking the thorn in my flesh away and just helping me to have a more clear and, you know, free spirit to just worship God. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that's a good testimony. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Could you share with her? Do you need a prayer request?
Just for the Lord to lead me and just direct me and be the light of my feet and always keep my fire burning and not let me be cold.
Okay, Brother Marshall, pray with her.
Yes, Father God, you heard Katya's request from New York, Father, and we ask we come into agreement with her for that, Lord, that you will fill her afresh with your Holy Ghost, that you'll keep her fire burning, her flame of zeal burning for you, Lord. You cause her to be as zealous for her as Jesus is for her, and he's very jealous for Katya. He's so jealous that he came down from heaven. He poured out his life for her. Cause her to be that jealous and that zealous for the Lord Jesus, the lover of her soul. And we ask, Father, that you send the Holy Ghost to make the Word of God alive and give her revelation, divine wisdom and revelation, Father God. It says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, to give it to all men liberally and abradeth not. Give her the wisdom that she needs, and Jesus Christ has made unto her wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. We ask you to fill her afresh, Father, with your Holy Ghost. And, Father, we ask that the Lord Jesus baptize her afresh with the Holy Ghost and holy fire, and that you order every one of her thoughts and her steps. And we plead the blood of Jesus over Katya, over her mind and her heart, and we bind every hindering spirit in Jesus' name. Father, we ask you to set your obedient angels to not only watch over Katya, but over all those who have needs, have called in. And each one of us, give your obedient angels charge over each one of us continually, including the angel of the Lord that encampeth round about them that fears him and delivers them. We ask you to deliver us from all the wiles of the enemy. We know many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And we thank you for the gift of righteousness, Father, for Katya and each one of us because of the blood of the covenant. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're all in agreement according to your word. In Matthew 18:19, in Jesus' name. And you said, if two of you on earth agree touching anything you ask, it shall be done for them, my Father, which is in heaven. So thank you, Father, for doing it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Thank you for calling in, Kasia. God bless you.
God bless you. Thanks.
Now, the telephone number is 805-292-0300. And we're talking tonight about spirits, the spirits that are imitating the Holy Spirit, but they're not the Holy Spirit. So we want you, if you have a testimony about this, to call us, and we'll be happy to take your call. Amen? God is good all the time. God bless you, Pastor. Bye-bye.
Dr. Pat?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't. It might be clearer if you called in on a phone. I don't know if you did, but it's still pretty scratchy.
Yeah, I'll try. You go ahead and talk, and I'll try.
I just thought I'd suggest that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
You go ahead and talk.
All right. There was a church I was involved in for 7 years, and it on the surface, it's wonderful. People there love one another. They love the Lord, as far as one can tell. But there's a mixture because some of those people in positions of authority have thought that the spirit connected with the third wave was the Holy Ghost. And I didn't know about this until just recently, and I found out that there is a false Holy Ghost. And you can look online. You can type in a false Holy Spirit, Kundalini Spirit, and it will give you an amazing little bit of insight there. But I bind every interfering spirit, every spirit of voice, every scrambling spirit. I bind you and I cancel your assignment to this blog talk radio broadcast. Command you to be bound, thrust in a cage. I'll lock you in with the key of David. Put gags in every one of your mouths. In Jesus' name, the blood of Jesus against you. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth against you. In Jesus' name.
Okay. So this is me on the telephone. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Well, how's it sound? Not working. There we go. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Is this Dr. Sabrina? Okay, it's quieter, but your voice is, sounds like you're far away.
Yeah.
Father, I ask you to deliver us, Father. Just call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be delivered. Because of the blood of the covenant, I ask you to deliver us all from these interfering spirits, Father, in Jesus' name. Cause your word to go forth with clarity, Father. And I thank you for doing so, Father, in Jesus' name. I find every spirit operating through technology.
Well, it's not any better on the phone, so I'm hanging that up.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, I could hear you asking.
Marshall?
Hi.
Marshall, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. It's much better now.
Okay. We've got 9 minutes left on this radio. I think we got a caller, and let's see what this caller wants. This is a holiday, and you've probably got a lot of lines out there on Skype. 916, you're on the air.
Hi, good evening, Dr. Holliday.
Hi.
My name is Carolyn, and I'm calling to ask a couple questions about the spirit, the Kundalini spirit. My daughter, she was born again Christian when she was a very small little girl, like 5 years old, and she got involved in a whole lifestyle of singing and got into a band and things like that, and now she's really like taken over by some form of a spirit, and it's exactly what you all are describing there. Is she says she still believes in Jesus. The Bible is written by Satan, and just crazy stuff, just really crazy stuff. And I've tried to explain things to her and show her things of the Word and tell her the truth and tell her you're in error, and you know, but it's she cannot get it anymore.
Where does she go to church?
No, she no longer goes to church. She says she doesn't need church, that she has God in her, and that's all she needs. She won't read the Bible anymore. The Bible was written by Satan. Bizarre, bizarre belief.
What's going to happen is you're going to have to do some intercession for her.
Uh-huh.
And so we need to do some intercession for her, too. And you need to come back, you know, every week and write it on, if you can get on the chat room, put the request up there. If not,
okay,
call in and let's pray for her. So,
okay, I would
need to ask for her. You want to come and pray for her, Dr. Sabrina? Don't touch it, just pray.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift this young lady up to you.
Yes,
we ask, Father, to have mercy upon her. We thank
yes,
you, Lord, that there's a path that leads to righteousness, but this sister isn't on it right now. Father,
yes,
we ask that you redirect her steps and redirect the way that she is going, Father, and put her back onto the pathway of righteousness in Jesus' name. We
yes,
thank you, Lord, for putting blockades in her way so that she cannot continue on the way she's going. We thank you, Lord, for surrounding her by your angels and for protecting
yes,
her during this time, Father, in Jesus' name. We ask, Father, that you give her mother wisdom in the Word of God, just what to pray, what to say, how
yes,
to intervene for her daughter in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for giving her mother strength to fast. And tell her mother, Lord God, directly how you want the fast to go. Be specific,
yes,
Lord. We thank you for specificity. We thank
yes,
you, Lord, that she will obey, Lord, and that we will join her in prayer and fasting on behalf of her daughter. We bind
yes,
the devil to speak into the minds of her daughter now in Jesus' name. We
amen,
cage them. We bind them with fetters of iron. We chain them with everlasting chains from Jesus Christ. We gag them, mute them, and muzzle them in Jesus' name.
Yes.
We say that she cannot walk in agreement with the devils in Jesus' name, and we sever their agreement in the name of Jesus. We thank
yes,
you, Lord, that the blood is stronger than her disobedience. Father,
yes,
wherever it was that this young name. And yes, repeating that display to her in a manner that she, in a manner in which she can receive it, Father, in Jesus' name. Continually show her, Lord God, how wrong the path that she is now on is. We bind the confusion that is going on in her mind and in her heart in Jesus' name. We bind up her rejection of the truth of the way in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord God. We release on her path warring angels to war on behalf of her life, Father, in Jesus' name. We release on her path those that would minister to her the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. We bind her rejection of the words that have come from her mother, Father, in Jesus' name. We bind her rebellion in Jesus' name. We cage her scorn in Jesus' name. And we thank you for loosing her into the kingdom of God once again. The Bible says, Lord, that you're married to the backslider. So we thank you, Lord God, for drawing her back to you. Drawing her back to you, Lord, just as you say you do. We thank you, Lord, for putting her into a place where she must listen to you and she must heed the words that you say to her in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God. We put the wall of fire and hedge of protection over this young lady, Father, that you will lead her back into the kingdom of God to be found once again on your truth and your word. We thank you and we give you praise for it in Jesus' name.
Now, you fast, as Dr. Sabrina said, and I want you to give us a call back next week and let's pray again.
Okay.
And I believe God can catch your daughter as you pray and intercede for her.
I will do that. I have been fasting. I fast like 5 days a week, and I've been fasting and praying, and I will call next week. I thank you all very much. Thank you, Dr. Sabrina, Dr. Holliday, and the other gentlemen there.
Okay, thank you very much.
God bless you all.
Yes, before you go, sister.
Yes.
I have a quick couple words for you here and a quick prayer.
Okay.
In Deuteronomy 30, verse 6, it says, "And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul that thou mayest live." He promises to do that for us and for our seed, for our offspring. And it says over in Isaiah 49:25, "But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children." He has some promises there for us. And it says in Acts 16:31, "And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." So he promises household salvation. It is written in Exodus 12:3, "A lamb for a house." It is written that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God in John 1:29. And it is written, "Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. He shed his blood for you and your house." Amen. "As I'm seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly places, at the right hand of the Father, and in your presence, Father, is fullness of joy, and I worship and praise and bless you, Father. And I thank you for all your good and perfect gifts, Father God. I thank you for the gift of the Lord Jesus and the gift of the Holy Ghost, the gift of righteousness, the gift of faith, and the gift of your peace, Lord Jesus. You make peace by the blood of your cross. I command there be no further flow of power communication from the demons in the second heavens beneath Christ Jesus' feet up here in the third heavens, and the demons in the first heavens on earth pertaining to this woman and her daughter and their entire family from henceforth and forevermore in Jesus' name, for I decree it and declare it in Jesus' name. And I bind every spirit of doubt and unbelief affecting that girl and affecting every family member, and I command them to be bound, thrust in a cage, gags put in their mouths, and nothing further to do with them ever again in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Spirit because of the blood of the covenant in Jesus' name. And it's done. And we thank you, Father, for doing it in Jesus' name. And Jesus said, "Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." And we thank you for doing so. We thank you for fullness of joy. And sister, I would suggest that you give your daughter to the Lord Jesus. If she's if she's 20 years of age or older, give her into the hands of the Lord.
She's 30.
And he will take care of her.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. And I'll call you next week, dear. I will. Thank you all.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. We're really out of time. So if you will close us up in prayer, Brother Marshall, appreciate it. And pray for our families
this is a holiday for our safety when we're on the road.
And the gas prices
to go back down.
Amen. Father God, we come joyfully and boldly before your throne of grace because of the blood of the covenant with our big brother Jesus, who ever lives to make intercession for us with thanksgiving and praise. We thank you for all your wonderful gifts, Father. We thank you for the gift of faith. We thank you, Father God, for the gift of righteousness. And Father, we ask for your favor and your protection for all the believers, particularly those, all the family members. We ask that you continue to give your angels charge over each one of us in all our ways, Father God, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for the protection and provisions you have for us, even providing gas at affordable prices, and bring the price of gas down again, Father, in Jesus' name. And we bind every retaliatory spirit, every ungodly spirit sent on assignment against the work of the living God going forth through this Blog Talk Radio broadcast. We bind every one of those foul spirits, command them to be bound, return to sender sevenfold with continual repetitions in Jesus' name. Every spirit sent on assignment to scramble and cause confusion, because God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches. And I speak the shalom, the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, over every believer and their household. I say, peace. Be still in Jesus' name. I speak shalom to our minds and our hearts. Shalom to our household in Jesus' name. By the power of the Holy Spirit, the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And Jesus, he himself is our peace. And in him we live and move and have our being. In Jesus' name. And he wears a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is the Word of God. And nothing's going through that blood in Jesus' name. Because he said, I will be a wall of fire round about and the glory in the midst of her. And I thank you for your blood covenant. Because of your blood covenant and your good spirit, you are a wall of fire round about each one of the believers and the glory in the midst in Jesus' name. We thank you for protecting us from all the wiles of the enemy. And I speak blindness to the eyes of the enemy and muteness to the mouths of the enemy pertaining to us and every believer, and they may only hear what Jesus Christ of Nazareth wants them to hear in Jesus' name. And I break all the ungodly recording devices in Jesus' name, and I cancel their assignments against this Blog Talk Radio broadcast in Jesus' name because of the blood of the covenant, the blood of Jesus against you. The Lord rebuke you, Satan, and every one of your little minions in Jesus' name. I bind Beelzebub. I bind every strong man. I bind every spirit of bitterness. I bind all ungodly spirits. May cancel their assignments to everyone who's listened and will listen to this Blog Talk Radio broadcast from henceforth and forevermore. And I plead the blood of Jesus over every believer and over their hearts and minds and over their every opening of every temple of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. We thank you for your shield of faith, Lord, that quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked one in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, brother. God bless you. Have a nice holiday. We'll see you next Wednesday at 7:30. God bless everybody. Bye-bye.
God bless you all. God bless you, Dr.
Amen.
God bless you, Dr. Sabrina. Love you. His love covers all, perfect love covers all sins. We thank you for your perfect love, Lord. Thank you for loving us and washing us from our sins in your own blood, Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for keeping us as the apple of your eye. Thank you for the good plans you have for each one of us, plans for our peace and not for evil. Thank you for thinking about us all more than the grains of sand every day. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise and honor and glory. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending your own Son. We give you praise and honor and glory, Heavenly Father. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Ghost. We thank you for your promise in Acts 2:38-39. We thank you. We give you praise and honor and glory. Thank you for your promises that are always yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Praise and honor and glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you for the privilege of being your child, Father God. We've not received the spirit of bondage again, the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Even as you said in Acts 2:38, that Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. We claim those promises for us and for our families and our children in Jesus' name. We give you praise. You said, this is my covenant with them. The spirit that I put upon you, the words that I put in your mouth, word out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed. All of our children, nor out of the mouth of your seed, all of our grandchildren, from henceforth and forevermore. And we claim those promises. That one's from Isaiah 59, verse 21. We thank you for your promises that are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And you're not a man that you should lie, nor the son of man that you should repent, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Father, for your love, your perfect, perfect love, to cast out all sin, every ungodly spirit of fear. You're bound and cast out. Go where Jesus Christ of Nazareth tells you to go. The Lord is Jesus Christ in Jesus' name. And when you lie down, you'll not be afraid. Yes, you'll lie down, and your sleep will be sweet in Jesus' name. Thank you for giving your beloved sleep. Thank you for your guardian being this morning. Give you praise, Father. Thank you for never leaving us, for forsaking us, Lord. Thank you for giving you praise, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Your mercy is new every morning, Lord. Give you praise, Lord. When we awake, we're still with you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Love you, Lord. Love you, Father. Love you, Holy Spirit.
Brother, God bless you. God bless you, brother.